You are catching the wave with a brand new vibe in quartet music on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Keep it live. The hottest mix ever. 50,000 watts of power. 50,000 watts of praise. You're listening to
NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
In HD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
Go. Say it again, look at me. Everybody sing. Come on, put your hands together like this. wanna go. all y'all want to have sex. You're too cute. You're being too cute. I want somebody to just hit that floor. I'm a soldier.
And Morning to you all, and I hope that you are having a good morning so far. It is 8:30. We are 30 minutes into this wonderful show. I know sometimes when it's raining outside, sometimes we feel like this is not going to be a good day, but I promise you, this is going to be a great day. All you have to do is speak it, and it shall be. So if you have to grab your umbrellas to keep yourself from getting wet, that's what we'll do. But we have some great music that we are playing, and that will have the sun shining in your mind and in your heart. You are listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network. This is your new friend and your new host, the traveling preacher, coming your way with all the great music that you love to hear. So sit back and relax. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. And know that God is for you. And when he's for you, then no one can be against you.
you I will say, yeah.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak, Lord.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Won't you speak to me?
Speak, Lord.
I was so blind.
Speak to me.
I was so lost.
Speak, Lord.
Until you spoke to me.
All your years of ministry, you've seen many people come and many go. But the one constant we can always rely on is God. He stayed.
That I don't look like what I've been through, because I realize that had it not been for the grace of God, I'd probably be sleeping beneath the clay right now. But I want you to listen, see what God have done. So many reasons you could have gave up on me, but you were patient. You saw a future in me. thank you for staying.
Over and over, I messed up.
All over and over again. When it seemed like I was sinking deep in sin. Looking like I just couldn't get myself together. But you stayed.
My life is better.
My life is so much better.
You stayed.
You never left me. No.
You never left me.
You stayed right there.
You stayed.
I just kept on making the same mistake.
Over and over.
Over and over again, yes. Oh, you didn't leave me.
When I thought
you
could come out of
this, you stayed. Look at me now, yes. Look at me now. You've been never that good for me, yes. Things like you used to do, yes. I don't do it no more, yes.
Feeling fine. Save me. faithfulness, the great Jehovah. He'll come through, this barren land. Still my body.
Once again, you are listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network. If you have a prayer request or a song request, you can call in at 984-733-3977. Once again, 984-733-3977. Also, you can visit our website at nfiradio.com. It is 9 a.m., top of the hour, this Monday morning. And I want to do something for you right now. I know Friday we talked about the word of the day. I feel like God has put something new on my heart to give you this morning. I know I talked to you about possibly doing it 10 o'clock every day, but my spirit is telling me that somebody needs it now at 9 o'clock. So I would like to do that right now with us. So the word of the day is going to be about a prodigal son or a lost son or a child or a wavered child, a child who has lost their way. And I want to talk to all of you parents out there who might have children out there, even if they're grown adults, you're still concerned about them because you love them and they're your child. And so I want to encourage you to read this story when you get a chance in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. You know, it simply talks about a man who had two sons, and his younger son said, "Listen, Dad, give me what you owe me. Give me my inheritance. I'm ready to go." Dad do what he asked, and he goes out there, and he lives a wild life. And I don't want to give the whole story for you because I want you to go ahead and read it. But, of course, Dad was concerned about him, but he looked for him every day. He walked out to look in the far distance for him every day to see if his child was returning that particular day. And so I want to encourage you, no matter how long they've been out there, no matter what they're doing, even if you don't know what they're doing, I want you to keep praying for them, keep believing them. And let me tell you what my mother did for me. She would go out on the porch and look for me, just like this father did in this story. And guess what? I came back home. And so I just want to encourage you. So the word of the day is don't give up. If your child is out there, don't worry. Don't lose any more sleep. Don't shed any more tears. You pray about it. You don't worry about it. You know the saying is, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. So I want to encourage you. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, that lost child, that prodigal son or daughter that's out there doing, as the saying goes, God knows what. But God do know, and know that God is with them. He sees them. He's seen your tears. He's heard your prayers, and he will answer you. Just don't give up. Don't faint. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged and know that they will return in their right mind, and they will have a powerful testimony to help other people along the way. God bless you. Keep on listening. This is the NFI Radio Gospel Network. This is your new host and your new friend, the traveling preacher, wanting you to know that the way you are riding with me, I'm riding with you. Each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on this gospel train. Thank you for listening. Continue to enjoy, and I'll be back with you.
Y'all come on and put your hands together.
Blessing. Nick South, can I help you?
Yes, hello?
Hello, Nakus, can I help you?
Yes, I was trying to see, I had my daughter, little Ashley, my grandbaby, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Because she ain't really my daughter, because my daughter's on drugs, and she done left the children on me.
Mm.
To come down there and deliver, not deliver, but to get some wings.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought the wings back home. And I don't know if they was fried too long or whatever, but it just wasn't enough for everybody. Everybody ain't full.
How many did she get?
Oh, she got about six of them. It seemed like it was more meat on the tip than it was on the fat part of the wing. Maybe they fried them too long. Can I speak to somebody that can help me? Because you just sitting there holding
the
phone.
I'm the manager, ma'am. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, who's the lady that waited on me?
They
the
all
lady,
gone.
The one in the background. That's who I want to talk to.
That's what I'm saying. They're all gone, man. I'm the manager. That's the morning shift. The night shift is here now.
Uh-huh. Well, we had about six wings, and they just didn't do nothing for us.
Well, they always... All I know, as far as I know, all of them are pretty good-sized wings.
Well, these wasn't. I don't know if the chicken hadn't been working out or something, but it was all skin and bones. Now, they were good to suck on, because, you know, I take my dishes out, I get down to the gristle, but it wasn't good for little Ashley.
Okay.
And little Ashley's eyes bad, and she need all her vitamins and nutrients.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I'm just trying to see if I can send Ashley down there and he'll give us about 6 or 12 more than wings down there where we can eat.
So you want to order about 6 or 12 more?
Yes, we don't have no more money now.
Huh?
We don't have anything left. No, we ain't got no money. We don't want to order. We need to reorder because there was no meat. I can bring the bones down there and show them to you.
Well, I mean, the bones won't do you nothing on the bones. You know, I really can't tell, you know, what happened. I mean,
well, yes, you can. Yes, you can, because one of them, I just told her, I said, leave it. Leave it. Leave it. That's what I said to her. Leave it. And she left it. So I was trying to see if I could bring those down there, that one down there, because that's what the rest of them looked like. You understand what I'm
well,
saying?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying.
And then when she got ready to eat that last one, I said, leave it.
If all six
leave
of them, see, if you send them all back with all six of them, see, I could have found out what happened.
Listen, sir.
I understand.
This is not, I'm not trying to get into forensic science and things like that about DNA on the bones and things. I got one wing that she didn't touch. Now, Ashley didn't touch that wing because she minds me. She don't mind her mama. She minds me. And when she got down to it, I said, you know, it ain't no meat on these bones. And I said, leave it. Leave it.
Okay, well, I can see, I can replace the six that she got, but I can't do 12 now.
What?
You see what I mean? I'll replace the six that she got, okay? But I can't do six more.
Okay. Well, what you want me to do with that one? Do you want me to bring it back down there? Because I told her, don't bother. I said, leave
well,
it.
When she comes and pick up the six, she can bring that with her, and that way I can see it.
So, now, what if she bring that one and you feel like it had enough meat on it?
I'm going to go ahead and replace the six, regardless if it got meat on it or not, okay?
You are
I'm
so
gonna
nice.
I'm going to do the six, but I can't do 12.
God bless you.
She didn't purchase 12. She purchased six.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get the other six because my youngest boy, Melvin, was coming over there. And he was going, no, he's going to be hungry when he get off. But I told her to leave that last one where I could show you what I'm talking about. You understand?
Well, okay, I can say it.
And I thank God for you. And I'm not trying to preach to you, but...
Okay.
Oh, hush him up, Baba. Come just hit me. Listen, God got a miracle working for you. You're going to do great things. Great things.
Well, I appreciate that, sweetie.
Bow your head,
like
sugar.
Bow your head.
Let me pray for you.
I have to purchase these.
I understand
things.
That.
I have to buy them now, okay?
And I understand. Let me.
Did not give them to me.
I
have to bow.
Well, let me bow your head, and I'm going to pray for you, because I just thank God for you.
Okay, make it sure, because I'm working on orders. I got some orders that's called in. I'm having
right.
to get over there and get those.
Close your eyes.
Okay, they're closed.
Close your eyes.
All right.
God, help this man. What's your name, baby? What's your name? What's your
name?
Sam. God, help Sam. He's a good man working down at Green Acres Fried Chicken Golfer Place, each and every last one of them wings. And Lord, give him the strength next time he comes. Hello?
Hello?
Give him the strength next time that he'll add six more to the six that he's going to give us for free. Expand his heart. Expand his heart, Lord. Expand his heart, Lord. These admit other blessings. We ask his name. Amen. Sam?
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, I just wanted to pray for you. We'll be down there in about 10 minutes.
What's your name?
My name is Willis.
Willis?
Miss Willis.
Okay, Miss Willis.
Okay, hold on. Ashley! 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 Let me, you want to hold on while I can, you want to talk to Ashley?
No, ma'am, just come in. The hair come in, so she's picking up an order from Miss Willis.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Sugar Him.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Join the NFI Radio Gospel Network with 30 Minutes Power of Prayer 2024 here on the NFI, Mondays through Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Power of Prayer. Men and women of God that are coming forth praying for you, this nation, and the people around the world for healing, deliverance, and setting the captives free. Don't miss us right here. The Power of Prayer Request Hotlines, Mondays through Thursdays here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, where the breakthroughs and miracles are manifesting in this year of 2024. Join us, the Power of Prayer Request Hotlines. Dial in anytime. That's 563-999-3020. Again, that number, 563-999-3020. We'll look forward to hearing from you. The Power of Prayer Request Hotlines here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
back in my mind how you've shown up every time. Keep on reminding, you're still providing for me. Way back in my mind how you've shown up every time. Keep on reminding that you're providing for me.
Welcome back, welcome back. We are live from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it is 9:30 a.m. on this wonderful Monday morning. Standing by that awesome preacher, teacher, man of God, and you all are ready to receive him on this Monday. I'm speaking of Reverend Robert E. Ellis out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. He is the author and writer of the Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos. And now, let's join him right here, live from the NFI studios. Good morning, Reverend Robert E. Ellison.
And good morning to all of you out there. Welcome once again to another broadcast of the Approaching the Finish Line. Listen, I am so glad to be back with you today. I have a lot in store today, but I want to tell you first that I'm a man on a mission, and that mission is to be salt and light in the decaying world, and to occupy until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to get in contact with me, you can reach me at approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. That's approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. Yes, so far it's a beautiful day here in the DMV. We call it the DMV. That's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. Listen, we're just going to glorify the Lord today, as we do always, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Yes. Again, wonderful to be with you today. I have so much to talk about, so little time, as I always say. Today's topic, the question really is there really life after death? And we're going to go to the scriptures to prove that it is absolutely, there is life after death. Listen, if you're listening and you are listening to me this morning, I want you to know today that you've been anointed and appointed for such a time as this. We're living in perilous times, yes, indeed, but we know that we serve a God, a living God, who is on the throne. He says that if he is for us, then who could be against us? as we put on the whole armor of God, that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel, and we girding ourselves up with the belt of truth, we carry that shield of faith, and we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but rather he's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of a sound mind. How many of you know that the mind is a battlefield? It's a battlefield for the enemy because he tries to infiltrate your thoughts, and he tries to replace what God has told you with his own thoughts, with the enemy's thoughts. But that's why we have to put on the whole armor of God, because we're living in a day and in a time of great deception. We're living in a time of tremendous spiritual warfare, because, honestly speaking, we are nearing, and we can see by all of the signs, according to Matthew 24, when Jesus spoke to his apostles, and he told us there will be wars and rumors of wars, there will be pestilence, there will be famine, there will be false prophets, there will be lawlessness. All of the things that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, there is a great convergence. But the biggest sign that is evident was Israel becoming a nation. And many people overlook this. Israel became a nation in 1948. And it was prophesied that once God brought them back into the land, that that land would prosper. Now, Israel is surrounded by many of its enemies. It's a tiny little sliver of land, about 90 miles in length, not very big at all. But God said that he would cause this tiny nation to become a stumbling block for the nations in the last days. And if you're looking and if you're watching and if you're paying attention to what you hear in the news, the secular news, the mainstream news, a lot of that is just propaganda. The real news is in the Word of God. If you go to the Word of God, you go to the Bible, there you will find the truth about what's really going on. You will find the truth about how God promised the land to the Jews, to his people, Israel. And it's not just that little tiny sliver of land. It was through a covenant with Abraham that God made it clear that that land that is currently occupied by his people, Israel, not only would there be that little sliver of land, but it would extend to the north all the way up into Lebanon. It would extend into parts of Syria. I know a lot of people don't want to listen to this, don't like to listen to this, but I'm speaking to you of sound doctrine. Paul said that in the last days that men would not want to hear sound doctrine, but they would heap onto themselves teachers that would tickle their ears, basically tell them what they want to hear. But I'm not going to go too deep into that subject today. I want to get to this week's commentary, and from there we'll go into our study. The commentary for this week is entitled, When a Nation Abandons God. When a nation abandons God, eventually it subjects itself to God's remedial judgment or abandonment wrath. This means the present hedge of protection that so many take for granted that's given by God is incrementally removed, resulting in chaos and confusion. Although the world is full of evil and wickedness, it is the hand of God that restrains the evil through the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, God does not force himself onto anyone, as evidenced through our free will to either choose the way of the Lord or reject him as sovereign God. When a nation chooses to abandon God, it is given over to wicked and perverse leaders whose conscience is seared to the point of calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. There's a moral decline of such a nation as its people are cast into captivity through the deception and reprobate thinking of its leadership. A seared conscience is one that does not honor God, nor does it acknowledge God for who he is. The Bible refers to this in Romans 1:28 as the scripture reads, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It's a dysfunctional mindset where decisions are made that make no common sense and often void of logic. As a result, the people suffer. When the wicked rule, the people moan. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, as spoken of in Proverbs 29:2. When a nation abandons God, lawlessness increases. Peace is taken from that nation. Its churches are filled with false prophets that corrupt the minds of its people with false doctrines or doctrines of devils, as described in 1 Timothy 4:1, resulting in some departing from the faith as they give heed to these seducing spirits. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are what many of these false teachers promote. When a nation abandons God, its focus shifts from the eternal to the temporal, worldly possessions, even idolatry, wherein there is no hope of salvation, nor is there any real peace. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus can bring real peace. Today's selfie generation is on display as materialism and idolatry take center stage. When a nation abandons God, its children become victims of curriculums designed to appease a culture that's hostile to the ways of righteousness, but instead promote evil and perversion. We are living in such a culture today, such as were in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The Bible tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Yes, when a nation abandons God, chaos and judgment are soon to follow. That concludes the commentary for the week. Would you please join me for a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made, and we certainly shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I pray for those who are infirm, those in hospital rooms, those who are currently grieving and mourning over the loss of loved ones. I pray for those, Lord God, in war-torn regions whose children are suffering. I pray for those, O Heavenly Father, who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Lord, through your word and through your wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but through your wisdom. So, Father, we pray today for wisdom and understanding. We pray that you would keep us on the pathways of righteousness, for you are holy, you are righteous, and you are just. You are the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, King of glory. You are from everlasting to everlasting, from generation to generation, God and God alone. In all of heaven and earth, there is none like you, for you alone are perfect in all of your ways. Father, I ask today that you would guide the footsteps of those who trust in the name of the Lord. And for those who don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would turn their hearts toward you. Now I ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name today. Amen. To begin our studies today, we're going to talk about the subject of death. That subject scares a lot of people. It scares people because it's a subject that many would prefer not to talk about. It's a subject that's cynicism and misunderstanding. Much of people's understanding today about death comes from a word that's by the name of Gnosticism. It's mysticism. It's often associated with Eastern religions. There is a misunderstanding concerning death, but plainly spoken, God describes death as separation. You were made in the image of God, being given a body, a soul, and a spirit. At the point of death, your soul and your spirit separate from your body and returns to God. Your body has to return to the dust of the ground from where it was taken. Death came into the world by one man, we are told. I believe it's in the book of John. And that one man was Adam. When Adam sinned against God, it initiated death into the entire creation. That's all of the plants and animals, man himself, everything that was created by God. But thanks be to the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came with a restoration of all of creation. And in order to accomplish that, came in order that he would be the living sacrifice, because the penalty for sin is death. And so many churches today, they tend not to talk too much about sin anymore. But it's necessary to speak about it, because it's the very reason why Jesus came to be that sacrifice, so that he would restore that which was lost through Adam. So that's the explanation of death according to the word of God. Death is separation. So I have some examples to give to you for those of you who are hurting, for those of you who have been misinformed, for those of you who need an understanding about death, about your loved ones who were once here but are no longer here with you. Let's begin with the resurrection of Lazarus and words coming from Jesus in John 11, 25 through 27. Jesus speaks to Martha, and he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" This is what he says to Martha. So Jesus here plainly speaks of, though you were dead, you shall yet live. So there will be a resurrection. And I believe that this is an appropriate topic because we have what's soon coming, Resurrection Day, or some would refer to it as Easter. I believe it falls at the very end of this month, this year, March 31st. So maybe this is a reason why God put this particular subject on my heart to speak on, to begin this month. Let's go to the account of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible. Even then, in the Old Testament, Job knew there would be a resurrection. Here's what Job had to say. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom shall I see for myself? And mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Oh, there's a lot in that passage. Because Job is saying here, I will see God in my flesh, even though the worms may consume my body. I know that there's a day coming when I shall see God in my flesh, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another person's eyes. Let's see what David had to say concerning the death of his son, 2 Samuel 12:23. "But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast?" is what David is saying. "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David knew that there was a resurrection coming. He knew that he was going to meet and be with his son once again. Even though death had consumed his son, David had the faith that God would one day restore all things. Jesus appears before his disciples after resurrection, and this is what transpired in Luke 24 and 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Jesus says, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. This is after the resurrection. This is after Jesus had been crucified, dead, and buried, rose on the third day. He appears before his apostles. They think that he's some sort of a ghost, which is what a lot of people believe, sadly. But Jesus clearly demonstrates at the resurrection, you're going to have a physical body. The same, not the same body that you have now that's full of sin and corruption, but a glorified body. But yet it will be of flesh and bone, and you will be recognizable. You will recognize your loved ones. They will recognize you. It will be the same you, but a renewed you. Let's see what transpired concerning Moses and Elijah as they appeared with Jesus on what we know as the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew 17, there's an account, 17:3, it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now, here, let me set the stage. Jesus takes to the bottom of this mountain with him, Peter, James, and John. He appears with two men. On one side of him, there's Moses. On the other side, there's Elijah. The apostles, when Peter, James, and John looked upon them, they recognized who they were. These Old Testament saints that lived hundreds of years before these apostles, these New Testament saints. The New Testament saints looked upon the Old Testament saints, clearly recognized who they were. So I'm just giving you some examples of life after death here. But here to the main study we take from Luke chapter 16. Jesus gives the account of two men. One man was a rich man who was dressed in fine linen. He was dressed in purple, which was a reflection of royalty. So he's very wealthy. The other man was a man by the name of Lazarus. No, not the same Lazarus that Jesus resurrected from the dead with his sisters Mary and Martha and others watching. This was another Lazarus. Jesus gives the account. People say that they think that this is a parable. But Jesus, when he spoke, this is different than the parables. In the parables, he would speak generically. But in this particular account, he gives the names of people, which means that it's an actual account. So Jesus said that both men died. One man was very rich. The other man was a beggar whose name was Lazarus. It says that Lazarus was so bad off that he sat at the rich man's gate daily, waiting for crumbs from the rich man's table in order to eat. It says that the dogs even came and they licked his sores. But when Lazarus died, it says the angels came and carried him off. When the rich man died, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that he lifted up his eyes in hell. He was in torment. He was in flames. He was suffering. It says that the rich man looked over this chasm, this gulf that had separated him and the man that had died also along with him Lazarus, but Lazarus was in a place of comfort and provision on the other side of this gulf. The place where they were in the Old Testament was called Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. It is literally the, of the dead. Now, this was before Jesus came and made the sacrifice that he made on the cross. This is where all souls went prior to the crucifixion, sort of like a waiting place, not purgatory, like the Catholics believe. But this was a compartment of Hades. But there was a separation, a gulf. On one side, there was torment. On the other side, that was known as Abraham's bosom, there was complete comfort and provision. The rich man calls out to Abraham, "Father Abraham, would it be possible to have Lazarus to dip his finger in a drop of water to cool my tongue? For I am in flames." Abraham calls back, "There is a gulf that separates us, and no one, you can't come here, we can't go to you." He said, "Well, could you at least warn my brothers? I have five brothers on the earth, and I need them to know, because I don't want them to suffer the same fate that I have." The rich man was an unbeliever, you see. Lazarus, on the other hand, being in this place of provision, obviously was a believer. And so he was not suffering. So after this transaction between these men, now given these men were dead, as we know death, their bodies had been buried, but their souls still lived on. They could see each other. They could talk with each other. There was a mention of a finger, a tongue, water, fire, flames. All of this is real. Jesus created hell for Satan and his fallen angels. He did not create it for man. This is why Jesus tells this, gives this account. Many would discredit it. Many would say there is no such thing as hell. There is no such place. Even some churches don't want you to speak on hell. But Jesus saw fit to speak on it because he did not want man to end up there. So in this account, the rich man says, "Tell my brothers, I don't want them to suffer the same fate." Abraham replies to him, he said, "They have Moses and the prophets. If they choose not to listen to Moses and the prophets, then even a person returning from the dead could not convince them." This is a story, an account of unbelief. But it's also an account of what goes on in the unseen. Things that we can't see with our natural eye, but in the spirit, this is real. You see, what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is that when you were created by God, when we all were created by God, we were created eternal in the heavens, which means that we were created to live forever. On an upcoming broadcast, I really look forward to it. I intend to speak on heaven and speak on the millennial kingdom of Christ that is soon coming. Many topics concerning this particular subject as I attempt to connect the dots to do away with the unbelief and the skepticism and the misunderstandings that cause so many people to live in bondage, to live in fear, to live for this world and this world only. I want you to understand this morning that this present world was not God's intention for you, but rather there is a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be perfect. In other words, you're going to get a do-over, a brand new body. You're still going to look like who you look like now, only you'll probably look a whole lot younger, a whole lot better. You are going to live with your family, your friends, people that have long since died. If you follow what I'm saying to you this morning about the resurrection and its implications for everlasting life, and understand that God's intention that man would live on the earth. The earth is the inheritance. And God himself will live with us. Emmanuel, that's one of the many names of God, and it means God with us. I look forward to speaking with you next week. I see that my time has once again run up on me as we continue approaching the finish line, and we see signs along the way. I hope to be here to help you to discern and to see how close we are to this place called heaven that I can't wait to speak to you about come next broadcast. Again, if you want to speak with me, if you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. God bless you all. And I look forward to speaking with you again next week. Go tell a friend. Go tell a neighbor that there's a preacher that's preaching the word of God, and he's not afraid to tell the truth. God bless you all. See you next week.
You've been listening to Reverend Robert E. Ellison out of Port Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. Be sure to join him every Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith to the finish line where I see God's face.
Thank you. to show you the evidence.
Power in my heart.
I want you to see me loving now.
Power in my heart.
All of my enemies.
Power in my heart.
It ain't nothing but a love.
Power in my heart.
Yeah.
Power in my heart.
When you see me treat my neighbors right.
Power in my heart.
It ain't nothing but a love.
Love.
One day,
his love.
When I was all
in my heart,
he died.
His love.
Y'all keep clapping. Let me tell y'all something. Oh my God. Just the other day, we got to talking about all the denominations that we have. We got to talk it. Look, one said, I'm Baptist. One said, I'm Church of God in Christ. One said, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. One said, I'm Jehovah. Pastor, you know what I told you?
Y'all give him a hand.
He shed his blood.
Granny used to tell me,
for me.
Boy, when when it come down to Jesus business. She said, boy, I don't ever want to catch you playing with God business. So I stop by to let you know, if you ain't got your house in order, it's time to get your house in order. Because Jesus prepared the way over 2,000 years ago. Could you do me one favor? Grab the neighbor by the hand real fast. And say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. I'm so glad Jesus died for me. That's the reason why I don't look like what I've been through. Tell him this hand you're holding right here. Been lied on, say this hand right here, it's been talked about, tell him it's been misunderstood, tell him it's been misunderstood, but tell him by God grace and mercy, by God grace and mercy, by God grace and mercy, I'm still yet alive right now. Living, he loved me. And dying, he saved me. Over 2,000 years ago, he buried my sins far away. Anybody glad he buried your sins far away? I wish Granny was here tonight. She said, if it had not been for the Lord on your side. Can we just sing it one more time? He shed his blood now.
He shed his blood.
He took a little filthy boy like me and dusted me off. He took a little rusty boy like me. He took a little hate out of me and put a little love in me. He took a little danger out of me. Put a little peace in my mind. Put a little peace in my mind. Yes, he did. God bless you.
just like a thief in the night.